It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by Copper Compression. If you've been doing extra sewing or housework, your hands might need some extra support. Visit coppercompression.com and use code SEWINGOUTLOUD to receive 30% off your first order.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And our podcast topic today is stay stitching, understitching, and top stitching.
You got it.
And you know, these are all just straight stitching.
That's right.
They're all just straight stitching on different stuff at different times.
Right.
Different places.
Parts in the process. Right.
Perhaps with different types of thread. But it's all straight stitching.
It is.
And like, it kind of reminds me of when people are like, does this machine do quilting? You know?
Right. Yes, it does.
Like, that was one of our earliest episodes was, we called it machine marketing buzzwords.
Right.
And, you know, the process of quilting is a lot of just making a stitch on the sewing machine, which is what the sewing
machine
does. It sews, you know. So this is I just think it's interesting. It really shows you how versatile the sewing machine is.
That's right.
It does so many things for you.
It really does.
It, as you're creating.
It really, really does.
A quilt or a garment or a whatever, home deck, you know, it does so many things. So the reason that I brought up, or the, you know, the evolution of coming up with this episode is we have talked about each of these techniques at, you know, at some point, but I was getting a lot of questions in the group about like slash pockets getting wavy.
Right.
And necklines on like a wrap top.
Basically, sort of things losing their shape.
Flipping out. Yeah.
Right.
Losing their shapes are really, that's like a really good way to put it. So, you know, you get like a flare on the edge of a pocket where you wanted it to lay flat. You didn't want a flare. Right.
Well, and anytime you have a neckline, you have some sort of curve. So you're not on the straight of grain. You're
unless it's like an exact rectangle neckline. Which is very rare, you know.
I guess.
ZD's,
I mean, you could have it like a true boat neckline,
yes.
I guess. Right.
Well, I was thinking like that, you know, but.
Yeah, but it still will stretch at the corners.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It will still get out of shape.
That's a really good, that's a good point. That
you think they saw that, the way you made that with your hands?
Yeah, I think they saw it.
Okay.
I just made a square, like kind of a rectangle with my fingers. But that's a really good point, is that a lot of those, you know, necklines, pocket.
Right.
I mean,
generally a neckline is on the bias somewhere.
Yeah.
Or off grain. Let's
off
put it
grain.
That way.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. And that is one place where if you're doing kind of more traditional quilting with straight pattern pieces, you know, with squares.
Right.
A lot of times you are not on the... a lot of times you are on grain. Hopefully you're on grain, you know. So that's nice. And then, you know, with quilting, you can, of course, be putting together like triangles and stuff. But there are ways that you can, you know, keep your fabric together before you cut your triangle and stuff. So anyway, there's just, you always want to keep it stable. But with garment sewing, sometimes you do. I will get nervous when I cut out a pattern piece that has like a lot of curve to it.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, you know, like, hello, you, maybe it's like a, you know, a bodice front that then goes into like a thinner strap. The curvier the edge of my pattern piece or the thinner it is, sort of like I can see that it's getting less stable, and like a little alarm bell goes off in my brain and I think I need to be careful about this.
Well, and I have to say that's one place that the rotary cutting for me has lessened that worry.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to put that blade up under the fabric and, you know, hold one side of it down. you know, the rotary cutter in cutting out patterns, if you have not tried that or perfected it, it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah.
It's well worth it.
Well, that's a really good point. So what we're talking about today is sort of, you know, keeping your fabric from being distorted with these three techniques. But starting out, you need to have accurate cutting.
Absolutely.
Like, that's, you said that to me once, you know, many years ago. You were like, talking about sort of some garment construction techniques, and you're like, but really, when it comes down to it, you have to cut out accurately first,
right,
for any of this to work, you know. So that is very true. Okay, so let's talk about stay stitching first.
Okay.
What do you think? How about,
yeah,
that
no,
good?
I think so. I think that's what you would do first in this
true.
Process.
Very true.
That's exactly how
yeah.
it would go. Stay
no,
stitching would
totally
be
right.
first.
Yeah, you're totally right. So we did a series on circle skirts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you talked about, like, right after you cut out that circle skirt, you are going to stay stitch your waistline.
The waistline. Mm-hmm.
So tell me, you know, I've just cut out my circle skirt.
Right.
I'm going to come over to my sewing machine with it, and what am I going to do?
Well, ideally, you're going to stitch away from the edge probably about 3/8 of an inch.
Okay.
Okay. If you go to a half inch, you're kind of pushing that stage, you know, saying, and this is assuming that your
seam allowance
yeah. is 5/8. So I'm saying do it at 3/8. Now, a lot of times what I do is, it's sort of an arbitrary thing. I line up, you know, the edge of my presser foot with the edge of that fabric.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that's probably 3/8. You know, I want it to be more than a quarter
uh-huh.
because that's not enough.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not, you want it to stabilize, you know, enough into your seam allowance, right?
Right.
That you don't get misshapen. So I pick that up very, very easily, right? And
mm-hmm.
I try not to misshape, you know, and I gently put it under my...
And you're making sure the weight is supported.
That weight is supported. You're not stretching that arc or that
right.
shape or whatever, you know, whatever you've done. And you put it under that presser foot and you stitch it. And I use, I mean, I use a two and a half or a three.
Okay.
I don't worry usually about taking it out
because mm-hmm.
generally what I'm going to do later is understitch, which we're going to talk about. So that's going to be graded away probably.
Yeah. So you don't want to make it, so you're stay stitching a lot of curves generally. So
right.
you don't want this to be super long because it won't provide the stabilization.
Right.
It may not go around the curve. So you don't want
to
go up to 4 or 5.
In other words, you won't get a smooth curve.
Right.
And you want it to be stable.
Mm-hmm.
Like a basting stitch will not stabilize.
Yeah, so we don't want
right.
to go up to 4 or 5. But you don't want to go down real low.
No, don't go down to a 2 or 1.5 because then you're almost too tight.
Yeah, and you could actually distort the fabric by going too short.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So our whole thing here is sort of, I mean, test, you know,
right.
maybe there is some special.
Now, if I have a fabric that is very flimsy, slick, whatever, I may have already sewn it out, or I'm sorry, cut it out with tissue paper, or
mm-hmm.
not tissue paper, but pattern paper.
Yeah.
Right? We don't like to use tissue paper on our machines. And so I may be bringing it over with that paper
yeah.
on that piece. So I'm talking about like a silky, slinky chiffon.
Right.
Really hard to stay stitch.
Uh-huh.
Really, really hard to stay. So if it's on that paper, I just go ahead and use that paper as my stabilizer, and then I can pull it away.
So a circle skirt waistline is a circle. All right.
right.
That's a pretty good, like, that might be really evident to people. Okay. This whole thing is just one curve, you know. So I'm going to stay stitch this. But where else you can stay stitch is at, like, the V of
right.
a neckline.
Absolutely.
If you can stay stitch the whole neckline.
It was just like when you were saying a rectangle. Well, then you need to do those
corners.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably do the whole thing. But
yeah.
you could just do the corners.
You could. No, I would, yeah,
right.
probably do the whole thing, too. And then with those slash pockets... I think we might get into some of the troubleshooting here.
I think one of the things with the slash pockets is they might not realize that they're also on a bias.
That's right. So
okay. So if maybe you have a slash pocket that's not on the bias, then you're not going to have that trouble.
Yep.
Okay, of it losing its shape as easily. But if it's off grain, it will lose its shape with manipulation.
Yeah, and I'd say, don't you think the majority of them, you know, are going to be...
I think the majority are going to be off grain, right.
So you've got that slash pocket, and I do think that this is something that might be dependent upon your equipment and your level of experience. I know that I used to stretch things out more when I was a younger, you know, stitcher. Right. Okay. Like, and now I've learned a little, you know, just
you've got to be, yeah, you have to be gentle with it.
Working with more fabrics. Yeah. But the stay stitching can help prevent things like that. So I personally, like, when I'm making my jeans, I made Derek some pants that had slash pockets. I didn't stay stitch those because I felt like my technique was, adequate. Yeah. And I hate to use like the word my technique was advanced enough or something because I don't even know if that's
really
your
experience.
Right word.
You have the experience.
But yeah, I had the level of experience.
And it was probably a denim that wasn't that flimsy or easily to go out of shape. You know, some fabrics don't go out of shape like others
do. And don't you feel like...
And the other thing is if you cut it and made it right away, that makes a difference.
Yeah, and don't you feel like sometimes though you've honed these instincts where you're like, I can handle this slash pocket on denim.
Right.
And then you go and you're like, whoa, slash pocket on silk satin that is super thin. I will stay stitch this even though... Well, I'm an experienced
and the one
stitcher.
Thing that we, you know, I talked about having pattern paper or tracing paper under that or whatever, you may actually want to stabilize that in some instances. So you maybe you're wanting to, you know, top stitch on a little strip of organdy.
Right.
Or what's
no,
the
you just said top stitch. Stitch.
Oh, I'm
Do
sorry.
You mean stay
I said straight stitch is what I said.
Okay, sorry.
Stay stitch is stay what stitch. I mean. Okay. Yes, you want to incorporate that into that stay.
Yeah.
Right. Steam is not steam a seam.
There's that
seems great.
Yeah.
Seems great. And it's like a little non-woven strip of stuff. It's kind of cool.
This is kind of where Jennifer Medina was asking, she was ordering cotton organdy from us, and she ordered a lot. It's on its way, Jennifer. Or you really should have it by the time this podcast comes out. So she said, what other interfacing should I get?
Right. Except
we do like that fusible tape for some things. For, you know, that is
I would say there's some fusible tapes we use like that. And because we consider them temporary and they're light and they're not going to interfere.
Yeah. And they also, like, it's one strip that gets sewn in. It doesn't go, through a whole pattern piece where then it can come shred apart.
And we use the kind we know launders well.
Yeah.
So, is stabilizer, if I was on a deserted island, as long as I had cotton organdy,
Yeah.
And power mesh. I could probably do anything.
So when you're stay stitching, if you feel like you need another stabilizing force, if you want it to be permanent, that cotton organdy, another layer of the fabric, and you would stitch through
or
this.
Or just a little tiny strip of that fabric.
Right. Well, that's what I want to say. So you could put a scrap under there and then trim it.
Yes.
Or you could cut a strip. Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Some people actually... I've seen people use the selvage because it doesn't stretch. Now, the other thing about that, though, is it's also very rigid sometimes.
And it's a bit
bulky. So you know, again, experience. Well, is this going to work here or is this not?
Yeah. Right. So you could – so stay stitching is basically preventing the distortion of – a curve or some
the
kind
shape
of shape
that you cut, right?
And then you do want to make sure that while you're stay stitching, you are not distorting the shape.
And that's why we always talk about you don't pull the fabric through, you don't push the fabric through, you guide the fabric
through. Something ZD says all the time is stop and readjust.
Absolutely.
There's no trophy about
sewing a mile straight without your foot on the pedal.
Without adjusting.
No, stop and adjust. Yeah.
So you're going to do that. I like that 2.5 to 3 stitch length. So that slash pocket.
I would be using my construction thread more,
Yeah.
I would be set up.
Good point.
I hate to say this, just because we just had this post and people got all upset about thread. Don't get upset about thread. You can take our recommendations or not. Okay. Yeah. You can listen to what we have to say, and you can we talk about our experiences with thread, and you know, no one's trying to thread shame anyone. But I don't want your crappy thread. But anyway.
I mean, okay, there might be someone out there who wants to thread shame. Okay.
Right.
But, you know, our recommendations.
If you are happy, stay happy.
Stay happy. There
don't
you
let
go.
Someone upset you about what you're doing if it's working for you.
Yes, yes,
okay?
yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, don't take offense where it's not given either. But a good quality thread is very important there, just not to add bulk.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If it stays. Now, like I said, a lot of times you could be trimming
this
away.
You'll end up grading it away or something.
Very often. Sometimes not all of it gets graded away. You know, it's kind of a funny thing
so
that can happen there.
I don't want to give people the impression, before we maybe move on to understitching, that you have to like stay stitch around your whole pattern piece garment. Okay.
No. And say you have an A-line to your skirt, right? That side seam's probably not going to need a stay stitch.
That's a really long seam.
It's a really long seam, but it's gradual. Okay. And it is straight, even though it's not cut straight of grain.
I also wanted to say, like, we're talking about pants here, maybe with a side, with
well,
a slash pocket.
And you know,
you don't have to stay stitch well, the side seam
and
of
I think
your trousers.
If you think smaller pieces,
yeah.
Because even with the circle skirt, even the waist of a circle skirt, you know, it curves, but it doesn't curve back. It's not a curve like an armhole curve.
Yeah, like an arm's eye.
So
yeah.
The smaller the curve, the more likely you are to get a distortion, actually.
Now, the one thing about a circle skirt is just all that weight.
Yes.
On the
yes.
generally.
Right.
Even with a lightweight fabric, it's so apt to distort because of the volume of fabric
exactly.
in a circle skirt. But I do want to bring up in Olga Lynn's sweater class, and she was a sponsor a few episodes back, sewsweaters.com. And what's the coupon code? I think it's Sewing Out Loud for like
15%
off.
I think it is too. Sewing Out Loud 15 maybe.
No,
or something.
We'll figure that out. Put that in the show
notes.
Put that in
the notes.
But this is one technique I don't think she'd mind us saying that she has you do more stay stitching than usual because the fabric that you're using to sew this sweater is a sweater knit, which is like super open knit.
Which is made to go out of shape.
Yeah. It's,
okay.
Yes.
It's made to hang. It's made to do those. But like I said, on a woven, especially,
right?
You know, the smaller the curve, honestly, the more likely you are to go out of shape.
And you can, and it depends.
So we're talking about, like, necks. We're talking about, you know, armholes.
Right.
Anything with that little curve. Your slash pocket, some people may have no trouble with it at all.
Well, that's...
Like you just said.
Yeah.
And it also depends on the fabric.
Okay, and I do want to say, well, we're gonna talk about top stitching, you know, a bit later, but the stitch length, once again...
Yep.
Please pay attention to that. See how tight your stitches are. That can be something that's distorting your
fabric.
And
we know that you have started this project with a
brand new sharp needle. Okay, and you can test. So if you are unsure about what stay stitching will kind of like work out nicely for you and everything, give it a test. Cut out a little like mock.
Yeah, cut out a little curved armhole or something out of your scrap.
It's like you could cut out something that looks like a square that has a circle taken out of it, sort of, kind of thing. And you can kind of sew on that and see what it would be like. And stay stitching also might not look super beautiful, okay? Because you are often sewing on one layer of fabric.
That's true.
Now, it shouldn't look terrible, okay?
Right.
It shouldn't be like there's looping everywhere and it looks awful. But your sewing machine really is going to get its best stitch on two layers of fabric. Okay, so when we sew on one layer of fabric, we're just not expecting to, like, I don't know.
Have that pristine
Send
stitch.
It to the state fair. Like, you don't send just a state stitch.
Mallory's been using the state fair
yeah,
thing
my
a lot.
Sourdough,
she must be wanting to go to the state
my
fair.
My sourdough today, I was like, this would win first place at the state fair. You know, okay, so I've never done anything at the state fair.
Have you ever been to one? Because I don't think I've taken you to one.
I think somebody took me to one once.
Okay.
Like. You know, a friend in, like, middle school or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, so that is a heads up. Straight stitching on one layer of your fabric might not look super duper beautiful. And sometimes some people get really picky.
It's not going to show.
Don't worry about that. It
not
shouldn't show.
Show.
No, this is, maybe that's a, this should not show.
Right.
So it's either going to be hidden in a seam.
Mm-hmm. Or graded away.
that 3/8 of an inch, like Mom said, that's a really good thing to do. So
a lot of times I grade on that stitching. Like I use that as a guideline,
and
that's what I'm cutting off, right.
Oh, that's a good.
Doesn't that make sense?
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about understitching and top stitching. And I think stay stitching was kind of my, you know, I really wanted to talk about that a little bit and how it can help you on things like the wrap dress, on things like
right.
the slash pockets if you're getting that flare. So we will be right back.
Let's take a moment to thank our latest sponsor, Copper Compression, for supporting the podcast.
Copper Compression offers a full range of copper-infused wellness products like braces, gloves, and sleeves that provide targeted relief and the support you need through your active recovery. They have the highest copper content on the market, guaranteed.
Copper-infused fabric is wondrous material. It has antimicrobial and anti-odor properties and boosts circulation. The unique combination of compression and copper gives you the strength to heal.
We know how important our hands are. I've been knitting and gardening more while staying at home, which is fun, but my hands were killing me. I started using their half-finger gloves while working on my latest project, and my hands have felt so much better.
Copper Compression was recently in the news. They donated their entire stock of 18,000 professionally manufactured masks to New York and New Jersey hospitals.
And of course, we have a special offer for our listeners. Go to coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30, that's coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30, or use the promo code SEWINGOUTLOUD, all one word, at checkout for a very generous 30% off on your first order.
Thanks, Copper Compression. Sewing Out Loud.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back. Okay, so understitching would be the next thing that you do in the process. And I know this because I believe that there have been a couple garments that I've made where, like, I accidentally top-stitched. Should have understitched first.
So why would you understitch, Mallory?
Okay, understitching is magical, witchcraft, amazing, fun thing to do. In sewing, in my opinion. I don't know what the specific project was where I first understitched, but it changed my life, and I love to do it, and I do it even when the pattern doesn't tell me to, mm-hmm. because I love it so much. That didn't answer your question.
Well, that's okay. Is there anything that you do before you understitch? So how would this happen?
Okay.
So I'm going to put I have a neckline, and I am going to put a facing neckline.
Maybe we can talk about this, because this was actually a little counterintuitive to me, because you're going to talk about grading.
Grading and clipping.
Yes.
Right?
And I would have understitched first before I graded.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But no. Okay, so where this instinct came from... Maybe we should explain what understitching is first. But where this instinct came from is I wanted to sew on as much fabric as possible and then grade. Okay? But we'll have a That was a seam gauge that I've been like playing with. And just followed
it was the set out of my ring.
Yeah. Excuse me. So anyway, let's explain what understitching is and then get back to that. Okay. So pretend that slash pocket. I think this is a great visualization. Okay. So you have like the front panel of a pair of pants. Okay. And it's like the corner has been cut off of it because there's a slash there where your hand's going to go in so that you can get into your pocket. And then you have your pocket fabric, your pocket bag, the inside of that. So you sew those two pieces together. You sew them together, right sides together. Maybe you stay stitched first if you felt that was needed. Okay. But you sew those right sides together and then you're going to flip that pocket bag to the inside. Okay, so you see there where you flipped it over, you got two seam allowances, you've got two, you know, you got the pocket bag and you got the outside of the trousers. That's like a lot of bulk there. So mm-hmm. if you've ever worn a garment where the lining was trying to creep out to the outside, this is where understitching can come in handy because it helps keep the lining inside. So what you do before you go to, you know, your next step in the process is you actually sew through the seam allowance of the trouser fabric, the seam allowance of the pocket bag fabric, and the pocket bag. So it's three layers, okay? So you come over to your sewing machine, and you've got the, like what I would do, I like to sew from the right side because otherwise my mom would, you know, make me go.
Because you're supposed to.
Get a switch off the tree. No, because you're supposed to. You know, I've got the pocket bag up facing me and the trouser leg. It's facing mm-hmm. me too. It's off to my left.
But all of the seam allowance.
All the seam allowances are under that pocket bag.
Which is considered your lining.
That's my lining.
Right.
So it would be like the facing of my neckline mm-hmm. or something like that, just like you said. And I would stitch. So what I like to do is use the edge joining foot. Okay, and generally move my needle all the way over to the right. I don't know what that is, if that's like 1/8.
Well, it's different on any machine.
So it might, it's a very small amount though, but you basically straight stitch, you know.
Guided by that.
Guided
seam.
By the seam. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of nice on the slash pocket because it's straight.
Right.
On a neckline facing, it could be curved, right. So it's just a little
and
more
again,
complex.
And again, mm-hmm. like a length of three. You don't, especially if you have a curve, you may decide on the curves to decrease your stitch length if it's real curvy.
Yeah.
To get around that curve. I would not go higher than a three.
Yeah.
It's not a basting stitch.
No, it's not a basting
And it's not
stitch.
A top stitch. Mm-mm. Okay.
It's going to be.
This is a understitch.
And it's going to be like against your body or this one that I was talking
against
about.
Another piece of fabric.
Going to be on the inside of my pocket where my hand is going.
So
you won't want it too long.
So when you do this, and I think Mallory painted a good picture. So when you do this, you have put two pieces of fabric together mm-hmm. and you wind up with then, you know, each fabric layer has a seam allowance, right? So there's like four things there that you could actually stitch through.
Yes.
But you're going to stitch through three at one time. And the only thing you're not stitching through is that
public fabric. Yeah.
That's the one that doesn't get stitched through.
So
the other three layers are, you know, smoothed out, right?
Uh-huh.
And under that lining fabric or that, you know,
pocket lining
or whatever it is. Right.
Yeah.
So now, what would I tell you to do, though, before that?
Yeah, tell me what to do.
Okay. So Mallory doesn't want a greater seam before she
stitches.
But
I will. I'm listening.
But I'm telling her she should. So grading a seam means one seam allowance is trimmed and trimmed shorter than the other seam allowance. So you're actually trimming both seam allowances, but they're stair-stepped.
That is the definition of the word grade.
Oh, really?
Okay, grade.
Oh,
okay,
I'm so good. I did not know I was that good on this.
Here's a little tangent, okay? Someone in the group was like, I don't like it when people say they're grading between pattern pieces.
I see.
Like between sizes.
Well, yes, and I don't say that either.
I do. You know why? If you're listening, I love you and I'd love to engage.
But grading's all right too.
Okay, grading is about levels or ranks or things like that, like when you grade the side of a hill.
Right, so when it's like, when you grade
from a 6 to a 7. I'm grading from 1 foot to 5 feet. I believe it's an appropriate...
And I will sometimes, more than often, I will say blending.
Well, I say blending.
Right.
I just don't think it's incorrect
to don't think grading is incorrect at all.
Okay, because great here, let's... Yeah, there's just, you know, one of the definitions of grading... Of course, one of the definitions is a mark indicating the quality of a student's work, you know, but... Listen.
You've graded the students. Yeah. One's at a higher level than the other, right?
I like this definition of, quote, pass gradually from one level, especially a shade of color, into another. So the word gradually, of course, is related to the word grade. All right. So when we're grading here, you're creating now different widths or lengths of seam allowance, however you want to look at that. You know, you're creating different levels of seam allowance. And anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. Perfect timing.
So
I think you can grade between pattern sizes is what I want to say there. Okay.
Okay.
So you're grading your seam allowances.
Right.
One's shorter than the other.
Right.
To what?
Which one's the shortest?
I don't know.
It's the lining one.
Okay.
Okay. Now, because if you think about this, it's the lining one, and then the next one, you grade the fashion fabric. Because when you pull that back and down, the longer one will encase the shorter one, basically. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's hanging over so that the longest piece is what you will see on that back side.
Okay, so my hesitation
but
about
that's all
grading,
enclosed.
Okay, my hesitation about grading before understitching is I'm afraid I'm going to cut it too short.
Well, then practice.
And miss it.
Then practice.
So it's like, I just felt
you can't, no. You can't even cut it that short.
Okay.
Think about
Don't
how close your stitching is.
I'm sure I could screw
you're
it up.
You're also going to clip curves.
Okay, this makes more sense. This makes a lot more sense.
Because you will not get a nice shape. You want a nice flat shape, and you will not get it if you don't grade that curve, or if you don't clip that curve.
Okay, so on a slash pocket, you don't need to clip any curves because there's no curves, you know. But
now some size pockets do have a little bit of a curve.
Okay, is that called a... Well, yes, but you know I mean, like a jeans pocket, that's not a slash pocket, but it's got a curve there.
Right.
So for sure, but like think of a round neckline, a scoop neckline. Yeah, those curves need to be clipped, notched, whatever you want to call it.
Because you don't want to pull that.
No.
First of all, you don't want to pull this fabric and stitch it down. You want to lay this fabric down, and you just want to coach it a little bit into smoothness and stitch right over it. There should be no forcing here.
Yeah, the understitching of a straight seam, like our theoretical straight slash pocket, is a lot more straightforward than the understitching of a neckline. Because then you've got these two curves where it was fine to sew the facing right sides together to the fashion fabric, but then you go to kind of unfold that, and you don't have your fabrics just laying nice and flat on the machine bed. You have some manipulation to do, some very gentle and accurate
In fact,
manipulation.
Your fabrics are not going to lay flat.
No.
When you lay them flat, that seam is the only thing that will lay flat.
Right, right.
You know, and not until you curve, you know.
Yeah. That's why
fold it over on
itself.
You know,
I think occasionally some people are like, "Oh, I just rather hand stitch some of these things," because part of the art of the sewing machine is manipulating things so that the action under the needle is where it's flat.
Right.
You know, whereas if you were to like do that by hand, you could hold that garment like however you want. You know,
right.
I mean, I'm not doing it by hand. Like that's not me. But because I'm lazy.
But
so,
so. What we're saying is, you know, if you get a pattern with instructions and it says stay stitch and then it says understitch, you want to do these things.
Yes.
They're not just kidding you.
It's
not like an unnecessary thing that you're going to skip unless you want that garment not to look.
Okay. And if
it's supposed to.
If you understand understitching, just do it now. Okay.
And honestly, it doesn't really take that much time.
It doesn't. And if a pattern has not told you to do it and you get the whole thing put together and your lining or your facing starts to creep out, it's very difficult to go back and do it. And that's when people try to fix it with top stitching. Just top stitch it.
Well, I mean, you can, but it won't.
No,
really
it won't be quite
it.
The same. However, I do want to.
First
bring
of all, you'll never get that pristine look of that seam folding on, or you know, the lining folding under.
I do want to say sometimes with understitching, let's envision a sheath dress, okay, that has a zipper in the back. And around, you know, a scoop neck, a jewel neckline or something like that. And it has, let's say it has a facing around the neckline.
Okay.
And that zipper in the back. Sometimes you do stop your understitching short of a zipper placement because, of course, your zipper needs to go all the way up into that, you know, where the facing meets the neckline. Also, we would have put together our shoulder seams before we put the facing on.
Yes.
Okay, so if I just want to bring that up because I have before wanted to like add in understitching on a garment and the order of operations was not friendly
and
to
and
it.
Order of operations, you know, when you're following someone's instructions, maybe you want to go by their order of operations the first time. If you're a more experienced seamstress, maybe you will read their instructions and go, oh, I know what they're talking about. I know where they're coming from, but I want to do it this way.
Yeah.
Because you have a way, or you have a way that you finish off the top of that invisible zipper. And maybe they're putting a set-in zipper.
Yep.
So, you know, or maybe you've decided you're going to have an exposed zipper and that's not what they have.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might be changing that. But if you're a newbie or if you're not sure, mock up a neckline and see what's going on. Whatever.
That's actually a really good idea. I just wanted to bring that up that if somebody is sort of thinking about this and they're like, well, then that puts the, you know, that makes it so that seam isn't open anymore for me to do. You're totally right. You know, you have kind of sealed up.
Put that zipper in first.
Yep.
It you know, you need to think of the order of operation.
I think we're ready to move on to top stitching. I think I had a good segue with...
What does top stitching mean, Mallory?
Everybody,
what does top stitching mean?
ZD has daggers coming out of her eyes, and they're looking at you. And if you top stitch things from underneath your project...
Then you're not top stitching.
She's not mad at you. She's just... disappointed.
Well, I'm disappointed in teachers. I'm disappointed in the person that taught them, just go from the other side and you'll always know that you'll catch your seam allowance or whatever. The other thing you'll always do is not be exactly the same distance probably from your seam or from your edge on your top. So if it's the side, it's the public side, the let's look at side, you need to stitch from that side. Plus, if you're using a top stitch thread, it needs to come from the top because you're probably not using the top stitch thread in the bobbin. Your machine won't handle it well. You need a bobbin thread and then a top stitch thread, which will be a thicker, heavier thread.
No, it's the more, it really is the more accurate way. Also, it's not... What do I want to say?
A lock stitch sewing machine is what we use these days, right? The top stitch is nice and straight and even.
Yep.
If you turn it over and you look at the bobbin stitching, it is not a straight stitch. It is on a slant. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, that thread wraps.
The thread
a little
wraps,
bit.
And then it wraps, and then it wraps like that. So you want that top stitch look. You don't want the under. I just saw a whole bunch of people giving instructions on some stuff, and they were doing it upside down.
Well, so that's what Aziti
was driving me nuts. And they say top stitch, and I'm like, liar.
Well, don't call it a top stitch. No,
just say stitch this, and this is not a top stitch. That's what they should be saying.
Okay, so and I don't want to minimize anyone who's like learning or anyone who this is a challenge for, but
you know how you learned a top stitch.
What?
Practice.
Okay, so yes. You know,
if you avoid doing it, you won't be able to do it.
But also, even if you haven't practiced a lot, it's really not
Patrick,
too...
I'm talking to you, buddy. He likes it when I go on these rants. That's all I'm saying.
James Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I want to say is it's not that hard to catch what's underneath, really, if you're using proper technique. Okay, so if you've got it folded over and you've pinned it or whatever, let's say you folded it over 3/4, like your hem's 3/4 of an inch. Well, you top stitch it a 1/2 inch, yeah. Guys. You don't try and go right on the edge of that. No, we're not crazy masochists or anything. You know, you give yourself some room.
And you know, sometimes you might miss. Like,
it happens.
You know, it can happen. But if you really want to know how to do it the pretty way.
Yes.
That would be the way. If you don't care about the pretty way, go ahead, do it from underneath.
Yeah, well, if you're, I don't know.
Yeah, again, do what makes you happy. I'm just saying, don't call it top stitching when you're around me.
Yeah, if you're down if you're down and dirty or whatever. But I'll tell you what, it just doesn't take that long to get proficient at, like.
Mallory knows because I made her get proficient.
You fold up your hem. It's right. It's, even when I am sewing down and dirty, I don't feel the need to top stitch the wrong way.
Right.
I guess is what I'm saying. Okay, so, anyway, top stitching, we have done a lot of media about top stitching, and I tell people over and over again, one of the biggest mistakes I see is people's stitching being way too short in top stitch land.
And a lot of other things, too, but go ahead.
Well, that is one thing that can really improve your results. So when you top stitch, you're generally top stitching through a lot of layers.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just telling you you were understitching through 3. Right. On the pocket.
Right.
So you're going to top stitch maybe through 4.
Yeah.
When you go top stitch that / pocket, if you need to
top stitch. The other thing, too, is top stitching is usually just to hold layers together or for a decorative detail.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's holding layers together. You know, it's not a stress point.
No, it really is.
It's like a hem.
Sort of,
You know, it's not a stress point. It's only holding the 2 layers of fabric together. It's not holding your butt seam together where one side gets stretched this way and one side gets stretched that way. That's not what's happening.
Yeah, top stitching isn't, what it does is that you were talking about keeping those layers down.
Right.
So instead of having a floppy seam... Right. On your jeans,
or a seam, or a seam that'll roll,
or a floppy seam, you know, at your butt or whatever like that. The top stitching is kind of just holding that all in place, and then it's gotten kind of a decorative, you know, look to it. So all the top stitching around like the fly of a pair of jeans is sort of just to hold that fly shield in place. You know,
if you think of the top stitching on a collar or a cuff, right, it's to hold those 2 layers where you want them to stay.
Yeah, so top stitching, though, should not compensate for, like, a lining you cut too large.
Nope.
Or something you distorted out of place.
No, okay? It shouldn't.
And you can distort while top stitching, so be careful, okay? Hopefully you stay stitched.
Okay, you can distort anytime.
Anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, you really can.
You're right.
And that's why, you know, I hear people say this all the time. On the Facebook page, somebody will say, well, how did it? And they go, take it to the ironing board and push it to the side and stretch it. And I'm like, well, it might look good for a second. But it's you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
It's not going to make it work. If you really have to force something, I mean, I don't know. Think about if you were, like, building a house. You're like, well, just force that 2x4 up there. It doesn't matter if it fits or not. Just shove it in there, you know. Well, eventually... that seam is going to bust or burst or
just
something.
Look wonky
or,
again.
Yeah, or look like a wad.
If it's been sewn in a distorted fashion.
Well, so, it's not going to lay right.
Right, yeah. That's what I'm saying, yeah. So if you use too short of a stitch, though, on your top stitching, and this is what I think happens, is people just use their default straight stitch, which is like a 2.5 length. And then they're sending a lot of layers through their sewing machine. And your sewing machine is not always absolutely perfect. If it's trying to force through, you know, 4 layers or lots of layers of fabric, it may not be giving you that 2.5 length.
You might really be down to like almost a 2.
Yeah, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So give yourself, go up. I mean, I'm going up a lot of times on things. It depends on what it is and you need to test. To a 3.5 or a 4.
Right.
Okay? And still getting a nice, sturdy stitch.
And again, this is something that you would test. You would take 2 pieces or 3 pieces, however many pieces of fabric you have, take that fabric, fold it over, whatever, and sandwich the lining in between it, and put it through your machine, and what looks pretty to you. And not... even the first one, if the first one looks okay, if you don't have a lot of experience, try a couple other lengths.
Go up and go
because
down.
Because it may go through nicely at 2.5 right now on that and look okay. But I bet you anything, if you scooch it up to 3 or 3.5 or 4, 4 might be a little bit long. Depends on what it is.
Yeah, it
if
depends.
If it's a coat or something, 4 might be okay.
Yeah, 4
but
can
anyway,
be a bit long.
But I'd say a 3 to a 3.5 is what you want probably more often for time, and it will be so much prettier.
No, and it will help your machine not to struggle.
Right. And I want to add this. So we're all thinking wovens, I believe, right now.
Yeah, that is very true.
So we do top stitch on knits, and what we top stitch with is a zigzag.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I hear people even show these things and go, look how well I zigzag this. And I so bad. And I don't say anything, guys, because I want everybody to feel good about their stuff. But I want to say, if you had just lengthened that stitch, it would have looked so much better. It also would have maintained the stretch better.
Yeah.
So the closer the zigzag, you're losing more stretch.
Yeah.
So I zigzag easily on a 3.5 or a 4 when I'm top stitching on a knit, and it will look so much more professional. It will generally tunnel less. It just gives you a better look.
Well, our job, really what we should do, is sew up like a faux, leg opening and show it at a 2.5.
All the different.
Show it at a 3.5. Mm-hmm. Show it at a 4. Right. Because, you don't want to give unsolicited advice.
I remember.
I don't want somebody to say something to me when I'm happy.
I know.
We do it all the time.
One of the things that really used to happen when we sold embroidery machines, right?
Yeah.
Was people would come in and they would have embroidered something on,
their shirt.
The chest of their shirt, right? And it would be like, on their nipple,
right,
or under their armpit, or like too far towards the middle, it would be too high,
right?
And they would come in and they would be smiling because the embroidery did look good. The embroidery, but the placement would be so awful. And they'd say, "Look what I did." We'd go, "Oh, that is really nice." Then maybe a couple of lessons or a couple of days later or something, we might talk about placement.
Well, no,
I had people say to me, you didn't tell me what a stupid place my daisy was in. And I was like, you were so proud. Yeah. I couldn't take that away from you at the moment. She goes, what do I do with that daisy now? I go, you cut up the shirt and you take the daisy and you make a greeting card out of it.
No, I've had people say to me like, you were so nice when I brought in that thing. And I was like, I am nice, don't take anybody's, I try not to give unsolicited advice.
Right.
If somebody's asked about the color of something, but this, I don't know, the stitching looks bad, I keep my mouth shut.
Right.
I mean, whatever. I gave though the feedback about the top stitching when I did a self-sewn wardrobe live a couple weeks ago where someone had like a little wrinkle in their pants and they needed to do a pattern piece, like length adjustment, it needed to be shortened. And so I said, do this to make the pattern piece shorter. This is why, blah, blah, blah. And I said, and I'm just going to give this, feedback here on your top stitching. You could go, longer.
Right.
And it might, just give you a little better result. But that was a little different. I'd asked for permission, to do that. So, yeah. But, oh, my God. Lengthen your I wish I could tell the world not only to thread with their presser
stitch
for that.
Stitch length is important. It is. Stitch length is important in so many ways. Okay, when do you go down to like a 1.5 straight stitch or something? When would you ever do that? I can tell you.
Yeah.
I can tell you. Okay.
Tell me.
It might be on the corner of a neckline.
Itty bitty.
Okay. When you need to
tight
get to
curve.
Those little, in a tight curve. If you're making a cloth doll, stitch that sucker at 1 or 1.5. You do not want those stitches to pop. If you've ever looked at somebody who's made a stuffed animal or something and you see like, the
stitches. They're coming open a little.
Yeah, and I don't know why people use a 4 then, and I'm like, no, this is when you need the 1.5.
Why couldn't your small stitch length be here?
And the tighter that stitch is when you're going around a finger or a hand or a paw or, whatever little appendage is, on whatever, legs on an octopus or whatever, you want them little.
Yeah.
And because also you're going to go back and stuff and you're going to be poking at those.
No, when you do
so
it.
So that there's where you use those little stitches.
Sometimes on like a scalloped hem.
Yes.
So on an adult garment, I probably wouldn't do like a 1.5 around the whole scallop. But when I get to the peak of that scallop and I go across and I want to give myself a little bit of straightness.
Well, that's where we also don't pivot, right,
Mary? That's right. Right. Yeah. You give a little straightness there. When you do that, if you bring it way down, you get to be more accurate. You
right.
Be like, okay, that far. So, if I'm,
so think about know. Points on a curve. You know, if you're gonna draw a circle, the more points you have on the circle to connect, the smoother your curve
yes.
will be. The
yes.
farther apart they are, you will get little flattened areas on your curve.
Right.
If you can think about it that
so
way.
So there is a place for these shorter
right.
stitch
well,
lengths.
Well, and I shorten, if I want a satin stitch, mm-hmm. I have a zigzag
oh, sure.
and I bring it down to
sure.
maybe, sometimes it's 0.5 depending on
yeah.
what I'm, 0.5 or 1 or 1.5, depends on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and if I want that to look like
hey,
a
you know
satin
what I thought
ribbon.
You were going to say with short length, since we're working on our greeting card little
oh, yeah.
Zigzag Live broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
That
that's
short
good...
length can help you perforate.
Yes, you can make a tear off perforate.
So,
like from like paper.
If you want to perforate, okay. If you don't want to perforate, don't
and that,
do that
is another reason not to use that short stitch.
Yes.
Short stitch. You don't want to put a whole bunch of holes in something you don't have to.
That's right.
Yeah.
Least amount of holes as possible. Okay. So, top stitching, you need that longer stitch length, and it will not fix the distortion.
That's right.
Okay, it won't necessarily fix a lining popping out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a customer came to you and they had made this beautiful jacket and the lining was coming to the outside and you had them take a pleat inside.
That's right.
Way at the back
right.
had nothing to do with the edge of the garment, okay? You know, so it was not like, oh, because you know, then you just get the lining creeping to the outside and it has top stitching on it.
Right.
And I'm not laughing at this because, like, I'm like, oh, it happens to you and not me. I've done this before.
Well,
I've screwed
and
up,
this
you
is,
know.
This is why when you say you want the garment to look as nice on the inside
yeah.
as the outside, it's because you want it smooth. You want it to lay flat. It should work as, you know, when you get that lining and you get that outer
yeah.
Fashion fabric, it should be acting as one piece
mm-hmm.
when you finish.
Yeah.
Not as two pieces fighting
and,
against
and,
each
and
other.
And linings can be challenging, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it is, you know, if you're not successful and you're like your first lined garment, you know, don't worry. They can be hard.
Right.
So just so you know. All right. And I've done a lot of videos on top stitching in the Self Sewn Wardrobe group. So if you want more info on top stitching and like top stitching thread and things like that, there that can be had.
There's
so,
a lot of stuff there.
Thank you all so much for listening. You can find us on Instagram. We are at SewHereCom. You can email me at Mallory@SewHere.com. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SewHere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.